Our scripture reading today is from Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. Hear the word of the Lord. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive their great condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched a crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called the disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything that she's had and all that she has had to live on." This is the word of the Lord. Our gospel reading from Mark begins with a few verses that hit kind of close to home for me. It says, "Beware of scribes who wear long robes." Uh-oh. "And beware of those who have the best seat in the house." And I'm going, oh my. Ivy said it's cold in here today, and he's right. The heat is broken. So it is a little bit cool in here today, but as I read those first few verses, it's kind of warm up here, let me tell you. Because I think they're pointed at me, you know. So let's see if I can put these verses into context here and maybe help myself out a little bit here. Mark typically uses the figures of the scribes and the priests and the Pharisees to portray the Jewish leadership in Mark's own time. And furthermore, Mark believed that these scribes and these Jewish leaders had corrupted the practices in the temple. And to a certain extent, they had corrupted things during that time. They were kind of abusing their power a little bit. And the scribes were highly educated teachers, and they were interpreters of the law. So they had a lot of money. They were wealthy. They were well-respected. And they kind of abused that power a little bit. And there are times in that community where widows and things like that would have to sell their property just to get money for food. And they would buy up the houses, is what Jesus is saying here. They'd buy up those houses, you know, when they're in there in a difficult time, you know. So they really weren't looking out for the widows. They're kind of looking out for themselves. And one of the things that God is very aware of and reminded the Israelites was to watch over the widows and the orphans that are among you, because they are especially vulnerable. And it seems like they were taken advantage of the widows during that time. So it's no wonder that these scribes kind of get under Jesus' skin as he makes note of what they're doing. And certainly things like that can still happen today in this day and age. We've all heard the stories of televangelists who make millions of dollars, and usually it's off of older folks who are sending in money and things like that. Some pastors and some denominations can make large sums of money doing what they're doing. But the United Methodist Church is not really set up that way. It's not a system that makes it easy to have that type of power and to gain that type of wealth within the system. So, you know, elders in the United Methodist Church don't make a lot of money. Local pastors like myself don't make large amounts of money. I mean, basically, we are called by God. We're called to serve, and that's what we're doing. We serve as best we can. All the pastors have been through here have done the best they can to serve the Lord God and to be faithful in that call to ministry. So I think all in all, I think pastors in general are just trying to serve and minister to the folks. And there are, you know, cases where things get out of hand or whatnot. But the Methodist Church tends to keep that type of stuff kind of under control. But Jesus does finish this section by saying that they will receive their condemnation. Because Jesus knows the score. He knows what is going on. The scene shifts to outside the temple, where Jesus is watching people put money in the treasury. So in other words, he's now watching the laity put their money into the offering plate. So the tables are kind of turned now. So I'm sort of, the heat's sort of leaving me and it's going out to y'all now. So you get your little time in the hot seat now, because it's Jesus focusing on the laity here. And there is a poor widow that comes up and puts in two small copper coins, which are worth just a penny. So to put that into perspective, she probably put in, you know, what it would take to maybe get something off the dollar menu at McDonald's. That's about all she had. So it'd be something off the dollar menu, very small meal, and that's about it. That's all she had that she put in there. But once again, the people are kind of oblivious. Jesus is here watching, but he doesn't make himself known. They don't see him. They don't know that he's there. He's just kind of watching. And he just kind of sitting back there. But Jesus knows the score. He knows what's going on there. This week, as I read commentaries and things like that, and I've been around church long enough to know that sort of the beginning of November, we kick off stewardship campaigns. And we sort of do that to try and get things in order before the end of the year. My guess is Jesus could care less about stewardship campaigns. I don't think he had stewardship campaigns in mind when this was being composed here. The Apostle Mark did not have that in mind when he was writing this. You know, he was just telling this story to bring forth a point that what this story really is about faith and it's about trust. That's what this story is about. And it's about what and who we're going to put our trust in. The rich people in the story have plenty in reserve, and they're giving out of their abundance. And one could read into that that their faith is kind of divided. Their trust is kind of divided between their trust in God, but they're also trusting in what they have. They're trusting in their material wealth that they have. And on the other hand, the faith of the widow doesn't seem to be divided at all. And Jesus doesn't walk up to her and tell her, he said, yeah, go ahead and put in those two small coins because you're going to win the lottery tomorrow. He doesn't go up there and tell her any of that. She's going on faith. She's just going on the faith that she has. She doesn't have absolute assurance that something's going to come out of this. She's just going forward on faith. She's going to trust that God knows the situation, and God is going to help her in her time of need, because God is faithful, and God is faithful to what he has said in Scripture. So she believes that and puts the trust in God. Now, today I changed the Old Testament text. It had Psalm 127. That's part of the lectionary text. I changed that today, and I read from 1 Kings because I wanted to read the story today about the widow in 1 Kings. And let me help you put that story in context a little bit. The Israelites went over into the Promised Land, into the Canaanite land. They were given the Promised Land. And for those of you who have been in Covenant Bible study, you heard that story this past week. We talked about that. And before they went into the Promised Land, Moses said to them, there's going to be wealth, there's going to be abundance over there, there's going to be all kinds of temptations. He said, be mindful of that and put your trust in God and be aware that you're going to be tempted by some of these things. You're going to be tempted to put your trust in other things. So this is a bit down the road now, where we pick up the story in 1 Kings. There is a god in that land, the god of Baal. They worshiped the god of Baal because Baal would bring water. He was a sort of god of nature that would bring water to the crops and water the crops. So they would put their trust in Baal. Well, God decided to remind them who is really God. And he told the prophet Elijah, he said, tell the folks that since they're not putting their trust in me, there's going to be a famine in the land, and it's not going to rain at all for several years. And that's where we pick up the story today. It's been several years into that drought. It has not rained there. And Elijah is there, and God says to him, he says, go to this city, and there will be a woman there. So he says, the Lord came to Elijah. He said, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you. Now, it's interesting. The widow in the story seems to know nothing of this command. When Elijah comes there and asks her for some water and some bread, she says, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar. I have a little oil in a jug. So what I'm going to do is I'm gathering some sticks here. I'm going to bake myself some cakes. Me and my son, we're going to bake some cakes, and then we're going to die. That's what we're going to do. And Elijah said, bake me a cake first, and God will provide, basically, is what he's saying. So if you'll do that, bake a cake, God will provide, and he'll continue to provide for us. So she has a decision to make at that point. She could listen to Elijah, or she could plan on doing what she was going to do. And she decides to go with what Elijah said. So in a way, the commandment that God had for her actually came to pass. But I don't think she had this vision from God, this assurance from God saying, "Here's this, Elijah's going to come to you, and he's going to make everything okay. He's going to extend this oil and this flour and stuff for you." I don't think she has none of that. She's just going on trust, and she's going on faith that God has been faithful in the past, and God will continue to be faithful. So she listens to Elijah. We live in a time when more and more people are putting their trust in other things. And we're beginning to pay a price for that. There's a famine in the land, and the famine in the land is, it's a famine of the Word of God. And these are difficult times. And many of you are working class folks who just try to make ends meet. Some of you have retired on fixed incomes and things like that. You know, these are challenging times, and I don't think any of us really here to sort of have abundance of wealth and things like that. But many throughout the land during this time have abandoned the faith and put their trust in other things. But I encourage you during this time, during these challenging times, I encourage you to continue to put your faith in God and put your faith in the Lord, because God knows the score and God will provide. He will find a way for you, and he'll make that way known to you. I'm sure y'all can think of times when you've had something come up. I had something like that come up this week, actually, where something comes up, an expense or whatever, just out of the blue, and it kind of hits you, and you're like, oh my, where did this come from? I didn't expect this at all. But then something else comes up, and it kind of offsets that, you know? And you think that's coincidence, that things like that just kind of happen? It's not like you win the lottery or anything like that, but God knows the score. God's keeping an eye on things. He gives you what you need when you need it, and he provides what you need and when you need it. So he's not going to let you be in despair. He will give you hope during those times, those challenging times, when you need a word of hope, or just the basic needs of life, when you need those things. And we've all been there from time to time, and some of us are there right now. So, you know, I could get up here and give a sermon about stewardship campaigns and things like that, but that's really not the point. And Jesus says, that's not the point. The point is to be faithful. Be faithful to what God has given you. He says to give with a cheerful heart, be a cheerful giver, and I trust you all do that, you know. But just to be faithful and put your trust in God. That's the most important thing. The people who come out of Israel, when they come out of Egypt and they went through the wilderness, they had God leading them by a pillar of fire during the night and a cloud by day. God was there. And Moses said, when you go into this promised land, be aware of this stuff that's going to tempt you. And they got tempted. Many of them fell away from the faith. So we are in times where there's temptations to abandon the faith because we don't have, some absolute assurance of something. But neither did these folks here. They didn't have any absolute assurance of things. They just trusted that God would see them through. And I assure you that God will see you through difficult times. And he'll get you through those times. So continue to put your faith and trust in God. The Bible says, just as it appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. God knows the score. The Lord Jesus knows the score. And there will be a day when he does return. And like it says, he's not going to come to deal with sin. That's been dealt with. It's going to be the time of judgment. And at that point in time, it'll be assessed. What do we put our trust in? He will know. He'll know what you've put your trust in or who you've put your trust in or whatever resources. He'll know. So I just encourage you, put your faith in Jesus Christ. He won't disappoint you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.